Amen. Thank you, ladies. I appreciate that. Great song, and I appreciate all that is given. Let's take our Bibles tonight. We will go to Proverbs chapter number 3. Proverbs chapter 3. And in just a moment, I want to begin, and I want to give a very simple message this evening on how you and I can know and determine the will of God. And tonight specifically, I'd like to preach to you on this subject, your path to God's guidance. Now, I wonder tonight, how important is it to you to know God's will? Now, sometimes, if we're not careful, we can think of God's will as something futuristic, as something, well, one day I'm going to do God's will, or some way down the road. For instance, maybe a young person would say, well, I'm going to do my own thing, and one day I'll do God's will. Well, may I help us understand tonight that God's will is not something in the future. God's will is today. God's will is obeying the Lord today. I know that when I was a young person, after I came to know Christ as my Savior, I wanted to do God's will, but I was scared to death that I was going to miss the will of the Lord. How was I going to know where God wanted me to go to college? How was I going to know who God wanted me to marry? You know, I remember thinking, Lord, it sure would be easier if you just come down here and give me a list and I'll obey everything, you know? Tell me who I'm supposed to marry. You know, I'm sure that worked out. Walk up to my wife to be, hey, you're going to marry me one day. Just want you to know that, all right? Just put it down right now, all right? That seems more simple. But the problem is, it's not a life of faith. Faith is trusting God to do what is right in our life. But can I give you something simple before we read this? Years ago, my pastor taught us this, which helped me in my Christian life. The will of God is present. The will of God is doing what God wants you to do today. And thank the Lord, today you're in the house of the Lord. That's God's will for your life. I can tell you that enough. You're here where God wants you to be tonight, doing what the Lord wants you to do. Tomorrow is the next day. Guess what? Tomorrow, for the young people, I got bad news for you, but it's God's will for you to go to school, all right? It is. The Lord preordained for you to go to school and for you to do your work and to have a good attitude and to honor and obey your parents. That's for Monday. And, you know, we think of God's will as something way down there. And, Lord, when I get to that, I'm going to do your will. God's will is day by day. It is today doing what God wants me to do. And the next day doing what God wants me to do. And the next day doing what God wants me to do. And guess what happens? Day by day, as you obey the Lord in the simple little things of life that we may think are simple, you'll be where God wants you to be. That's the will of the Lord. But how do we determine God's will? How do we determine? For instance, how do we know the leading and the direction of the Lord? Do you think that God left us here on earth just to kind of find our own way? And what are we supposed to make decisions? How can we know the mind of the Lord? Well, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is a precious passage to me. Let's read it together. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and here's the promise, and he shall direct thy paths. I believe that everyone here desires God to direct your path. Now, I want to give you a simple illustration tonight, and I want you to know that this is just an illustration, all right? What I'm going to tell you is not that God has spoken to me about the will of God for anyone's life. But let's just suppose tonight, would you suppose with me for a moment, that I had in my hand the documents of God's will for your life. Let's just say that God sent a special agent and gave me the directions for the will of God for your life, for the rest of your life. Here they are. Well, I wonder tonight, would you say, absolutely, Pastor, I will do God's will. Whatever it is, I accept the envelope tonight. Well, the truth of the matter is, some people would say, well, what's in the envelope before I accept it? You see, Pastor, I want to know what God's will is, and then I will determine if I'm going to do His will or not. You see, tonight, inside of the will of God for your life might be some things that you don't want. You see, it could be maybe the death of a loved one, a spouse, a child. It might be cancer. It might be some terrible tragedy and sorrow, but it's all a part of God's plan for your life to make and to mold you into what God has created you to be. I believe that all of us, we would say that there are things that God had planned for us that we would say, you know, Lord, I don't like that. I'm going to set that aside. Yes, I like that, but Lord, there's some things in here that I don't really care for. But brethren, may I tell you that God's path for our life is not always pleasant, but it is always providential. You see, whatever God is bringing to your life is a part of His providential care for you. Tonight, how can we know His will? Now, by the way, you may be at a time of decision. You may be at a time to where changes are coming into your life soon, and you are thinking, how am I going to know God's will? And how am I going to do the will of the Lord? Brother, may I tell you that we have a relationship and a fellowship with an all-knowing God. And there is a God in heaven who knows exactly what we are to do with our lives. He does know the future. How many has ever thought before that you wish that God would just tell you the future for your life? How many has ever thought that before? Sure. I'm sure that we have thought, Lord, if I could just know the future, I'll be glad to do it. Can I tell you something tonight? If God showed you and I the future, we could not bear it. Because there are things that we must endure that we would have never thought would come to our life. Have you ever gone through a season of trials and you look back on that, and God brought you through, by the way. He always brings us through. But we look back and we think, I'm glad I didn't know about that because I could have never bore the day. Think how we could live day by day knowing what the future holds. Brethren, God wants us to live step by step, day by day, trusting Him, faithing Him, not looking into the future, but living in the present. You know, it's dangerous driving down the road looking in the rearview mirror. You can't do it long. We should not look in the past. We should not think, well, look at this and look what I did here. No, we've got to keep our eyes on what the Lord has given to us. But if we're always looking to the future and one day it's going to be better and one day, no, God wants us to take today and say, God, how can I obey You today? How can I do Thy will today? So let me give you three simple words that are found in our passage that I believe that God can help us. Number one, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Look at the first word there. Maybe you can underline it or circle. It's the word trust. The first door, if you want to say it, to determining the will of God is to trust. Now let me say this to you. Here is what's difficult. As humans, we have limited knowledge. We do. And in fact, we make decisions based on our past experience and based on what others have told us. Have you ever seen someone before, maybe a young person that's getting ready, they're getting ready to make a decision to do something, and you think that's a bad decision because you're going to destroy your life, you're going to make a mess of your life. We can see that, but they really cannot see it. Brethren, tonight, you and I have limited knowledge. We do not know what the future holds. We do not know what tomorrow holds. And if we are not careful, we can allow fear to enter into our life and to paralyze us to make any decision. But God simply wants us to trust. Now, what does the word trust mean? What does it mean to trust the Lord? I'm going to give you some simple things tonight that maybe you can write down. The word trust first means to be persuaded. Now, the idea of being persuaded is that we are trusting the Lord to be, and we are completely convinced that He is everything that He claims to be. The ideal of trusting is that we are persuaded that God is good. Now, I'm going to tell you this right now. If you do not believe that God is good, you're not going to trust Him. You see, the devil wants us to believe that if we give our life to God and we surrender and we say, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. If we think that God is going to make a mess of our life, we will not trust Him. Brethren, I got news for you tonight. You can trust the Lord to do what is right in your life. It is to be persuaded. And I want you to remember this. Everything, please take note, everything that happens in your life, whether good or bad, is not always authored by God, but it is always allowed by God. Now look, you may say, well, what if someone does something and hurts me? And for instance, what about someone that gets involved in a car accident because someone was reckless and someone chose to take alcohol or drugs into their body and someone was hurt and injured? God never authored that because He is not the author of sin. And by the way, He is also not the author of confusion. But there is a God in heaven, in His sovereignty, has allowed that. Now look, sometimes we get a little confused about that. We think, but Pastor, I don't understand. If God is good, and He is good, how can He allow certain things in our life? Brethren, that is where we must trust the Lord. There are things that have come to your life and to my life that we think, God, this makes no sense to me how this is going to fulfill your will. That is where we trust. We are persuaded that He is good, and He is righteous, and He is just, and that He makes no mistakes. Trust that God has allowed things. Brethren, tonight you may be going through a trial. You may be going through a heartache and a different, maybe a time of confusion in your life. You do not have a reason to doubt that God has allowed it. Don't doubt it, because there is a God in heaven that has a perfect plan. And let me tell you something tonight that we must remember. No man can ever thwart the will of God. You may say, well, Pastor, God had a plan for my life. And here it was, Pastor. It was God's plan. But someone messed my life up. I'm sorry. Nobody can mess up God's will for your life. Now, look, you can choose not to trust the Lord. You can choose to disobey God. But to trust means to be persuaded that He is good. Can I tell you this? Let's think about parents and children. You know, I want my children to trust me. But you know something? If they are not convinced that I love them, they will not trust me. If they are not convinced that I want to do good for them, they're not going to trust me. I remember years ago, our daughter Abby, she was just a little child, and she had, and I'm going to embarrass her tonight, and I don't mean to do that, but trust me. All right, but anyway, she had just a little stuffed animal, a little lamb, and man, she loved that thing. I mean, loved it. And, you know, it was kind of like if we ever lost it, you know, life was going to get real bad real quick, you know. How many ever had a child like that? You had something special like that. And she had this little lamb. Well, for Christmas, I had bought her a brand new little lamb. Now, the lamb she had was terrible looking, all right? I mean, you know, she was just a baby, and man, it had gone through everything in life, you know, you can imagine, just as a little child. Been dropped everywhere, all of this, been washed many times, because she loved that little lamb. And I remember at Christmas time, I said, Abby, I want you to go get your little lamb. So she ran and got her little lamb. I think she was 2 or 3 years of age. And she got that little thing and she brought it to me. She said, and I said, Abby, I want you to trust Daddy. Will you trust me? She said, yes. And I said, I want you to trust me. I want you to take little lamb and throw it away. All right? That's what I told her. And boy, big old tears began to well up. And I said, now look, I want you to trust Daddy. Will you trust me that I'm going to do the right thing? And so she went over to the trash can, opened it up, and put little lamb down in there. I mean, my wife's about to say, honey, I'm going to beat you after this, you know. And I was trying to teach her a lesson and teach her to trust God. So then she came over to me, big old cheeks and big old tears welling up in her eyes. I said, now I want you to open this. And she opened it up, and it was a brand new lamb. Just looked just like her. Boy, she hugged Daddy, and she said, oh, Daddy, thank you so much. Thank you. And you know what? I was teaching her, if you will give that up, I'm going to give you something better. Can I tell you something? Is that not what God does in our life? There are things that we hold on to, but they're dirty. Sometimes they're not what we need for our life, and we hold on to them and say, no, I've got to have this, and I'm secure with this, and I need this. And God says, will you trust me? God says, I know what is best for you, and I have something better for you planned. Trust me. Be persuaded that I'm never going to make a mistake in your life. Be persuaded that I love you. Be persuaded that I know what is best for you. That is trusting the Lord. Oh, listen, that's where we must begin. To trust means to be persuaded. But the second thing about trusting God, it also means to be obedient. You see, if you are convinced and persuaded that God's ways are best and right and good, then that belief will naturally lead you to obey. You know, my little daughter, man, I'll tell you, it was tough that day. And here she was, a little thing running around, as cute as could be. And she had that little lamb. And I said, trust me. Well, she trusted, which led her to obey. Go throw it away. I didn't tell her I've got something better for you, but will you trust me? And is that not how God says to us? Just trust me. Just trust me and obey me, and then I will reveal to you. You see, brethren, tonight, to trust God leads to obedience of the Lord. In our hymn books, I don't want you to turn there, but maybe we could sing it tonight. But hymn number 391 is a song, Trust and Obey. Well, you know, one of the great things about our hymns is that our hymns have great stories behind them. Well, the story behind Trust and Obey is simply this. There was a revival meeting that was going on. And it was in Brockton, Massachusetts. And during the revival meeting, a young Christian got up during the revival, and they were having a testimony time. And the young Christian got up and said this, I'm not sure about everything that God wants me to do, but I'm going to trust Him to tell me, and I'm already going to decide right now that I will obey whatever the Lord tells me to do already. Well, a man that was in the meeting was a man by the name of Daniel Towner. Daniel Towner happened to be the song leader during the revival meeting. And Mr. Towner, the words stirred his heart about trusting and then obeying. Well, Towner shared these words with his friend John Samus. And John Samus was someone who knew what it meant to trust the Lord and to obey. Because when John was just a young man, he gave his heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ, came to know the Lord as his Savior, and surrendered to do whatever God wanted him to do. But God led him into business. And he was a very wealthy businessman. In fact, he was on staff at the YMCA when the YMCA was truly Young Men's Christian Association, where they were really leading people to Christ. It was a great organization. But after he was a very wealthy businessman, God began to deal with Mr. Samus about preaching the Word of God. And he left his business, although folks said, you don't have to do that. But he left the business to preach the Word of God, and he wrote this song, Trust and Obey. The first verse says, when we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but His smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt nor a fear, not a sigh nor a tear can abide while we trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil He doth richly repay. Not a grief nor a loss, not a frown nor a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. Do you hear this man's life story coming out? Verse 4 says, "But we never can prove the delights of his love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor he shows and the joy he bestows are for them who will trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet we will sit at his feet, or a walk by his side in the way. What he says we will do. Where he sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey." You see, brethren, to trust God is to be persuaded, but it is to be obedient to the Lord. But the third thing about trusting God is to be willing. You see, tonight, all of us have a will. W-I-L-L. When I first went to Illinois, right out of Tennessee, I would talk about the will of God. And I said it in such a way so where the teenagers thought I was talking about wheels on a car, all right? The will of God, you know? They said, "Pastor, I don't know what this wheels of God are, you know?" And so maybe I've gotten over that now. My wife has helped me a little bit. But can I tell you something? If we are going to know His will, we first have to be willing to do His will. And the example that I gave you with my daughter, I said, "Will you trust me?" She had to be willing to walk from there and to throw that away that she had. She had to be willing to do it. And tonight, we may say, well, God, I'll do your will, but can you tell me what it is first? It doesn't work that way. Because God is our loving Father who never makes a mistake, who never leads us in a way that we should not go. Look, He is more concerned about you and I doing His will than we could ever be concerned about doing His will. We can trust Him as a father would never give wrong direction purposely to his child. Our Heavenly Father will never lead us astray. But tonight we must say, "Lord, I am willing to do whatever you want me to do." You see, when I got saved and I came to know the Lord as my Savior, I didn't know what God wanted to do with my life. I had no idea. But you know what I said to the Lord? "Lord, I surrender to do whatever you want me to do. God, I'm just waiting on you to show me." I remember God impressed upon my heart, gave me a desire to preach His Word, but I didn't know what I was supposed to do. How was I supposed to preach His Word? Then God led me to go to college, and I believe God directed me to the very specific college. And while I was in college, I can still remember graduating, getting ready to graduate from Bible college. I'm going to be a preacher, but where am I supposed to go? Am I just supposed to go find some place? But no, God's will, God's direction, God's leading. And I prayed, "Lord, I'll go wherever you want me to go, but will you direct my path?" Brethren, there is a God in heaven who is interested in our lives. He has created us. He has a purpose and a plan. So first, we must trust. Look at the second word, all right? Go back to Proverbs chapter 3. We're in verse number 5. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart." And here it is. "And lean not unto thine own understanding." Here's the second word. Lean. Lean. Now, the thing is tonight, anything or any time that you lean on something, you are relying on it. You are resting on it. All of you here are leaning on a pew tonight. You're sitting there. You are trusting that pew to hold you up. You are dependent. You know what? When you walked in tonight, you didn't walk over and say, "Well, I don't know if this thing's going to hold me up here." And you didn't crawl underneath it to look at it. You didn't observe it and say, "I don't know." No, you put your trust in it. But you did more than say, "I believe that can hold me up." You did something more. You sat down in it. You leaned upon it. Tonight, as I would lean upon this pulpit here and put my weight upon this, I know this will hold me up. I have confidence in this. And tonight, if we are going to know the will of the Lord, we must lean. Now, notice that God tells us something very important. And let us not miss this. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Now, here is what gets me in trouble with the will of God is when I lean to my own understanding. Take your Bibles, go to Isaiah chapter 55, because you must see this. Isaiah chapter 55, turn to the right from the book of Proverbs, and you'll come to it pretty quick, Isaiah chapter 55, and let's look in verses 8 and 9. Now, this is something we cannot miss tonight. One of the most dangerous places to be is a place which we are relying on our own understanding. And I want to say this to you tonight. The will of God does not always go in the path of reason. Now, don't miss that. I can still remember when on my senior trip, Pastor and Mrs. Sexton took us on our senior trip. I went to Temple Baptist Academy. I still remember being on a bus, and we had flew to Florida. And, man, forget the education. Let's go have fun, you know. But anyway, all right, I know some schools, they just want to educational. But, man, for me, that was, you know, let's go have a lot of fun and all that. So Pastor and Ms. Sexton actually took us to Disney World, our senior trip. That was a pretty good senior trip. I can still remember being on a bus, and I was sitting close to Pastor and Mrs. Sexton, and someone asked them a question about the church where he pastored for many years in Paterson, New Jersey. And he said this. Now, this was years after he had left there. And he said, "I still love those people, and I would have never left unless God led me." And then he began to talk about how that the pastors in Paterson, now he was 11 miles from New York City, millions of people around him, and the people around that area got angry at Pastor Sexton for leaving New Jersey. Why would you leave New Jersey, millions of people, and go to Knoxville, Tennessee, where there is a church on every corner? In fact, today there are 300 independent Baptist churches in Knoxville, Tennessee, right now. 300 independent. I'm not talking about all the other Southern Baptists and different ones like that. Just a church almost every corner. Why would you? Why would you do that? Can I tell you one thing? The will of God. You see, his understanding, I remember him telling us that he took a legal pad and he put on one side reasons to leave Paterson, New Jersey, and reasons to stay at Paterson, New Jersey. And he wrote down all the reasons why he should stay and the reasons he should leave. And God dealt with him about that. He took it and he crumpled it up and threw it in the trash. And he realized that his own human understanding was not what he needed. You see, we get to thinking that, well, that doesn't make sense to me. Well, God's will sometimes doesn't make sense. You say, well, that's not good understanding. But wait a minute, what understanding are you leaning to? Your understanding of our finite minds of God's will or God's infinite understanding? That's why Isaiah 55, notice what it says here. Isaiah 55 in verse number 8, this is great. It says this, though here's God speaking, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." God says, "You do not think like I think, and your way is different than my way." And brethren, that is why it is so dangerous for you and me to lean, to rest upon our understanding, our thinking, what we think is best, what we think is right. So often we try to reason in our minds what God's will must be. We form scenarios in our minds. We get this ideal that we weigh out the pros and the cons, and we come up with, well, this is what I think is best. Can I tell you something? It doesn't matter what you and I think is best. What matters is the will of the Lord. That's what matters. So we must not lean, never rely on your understanding. And by the way, can I say this to you? This is something important. Don't let other people try to tell you what God's will for your life is. Now look, I can tell you tonight that it is God's will for you to be obedient and come to the house of God. You know why I can tell you that? Because it is found in the pages of Scripture. I can tell you things that God has told us not to do, things that we are to do, but they are found in the Word of God, but specifically for your life. I cannot tell you, even as your pastor, this is God's will for your life. I can't do that. And I think it is dangerous, and I think it is is a very serious sin to say, well, here's what you need to do with your life. By the way, can I say this to us as church? May we never think, well, someone's choosing something and I just don't like that. I don't agree with that. Well, you're not God. And if they are seeking to obey the Lord and they are not violating the Scripture, then who are you and me to say that is not God's will for your life? We are not to lean to our own understanding. We are to rest in the providences and the promises of God. You see, tonight, we sometimes assume what God's will is. We must lean. That means to rely. To rely. Not on our own understanding. You know, so often we become so consumed with our own hopes and dreams that we are convinced that they must be God-given dreams. Can I tell you something? Have you ever had your dreams destroyed? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but have you had things that you were just, you knew were God's will for your life? You dreamed about it. You thought, this is God's will. This is what I need to do. And God destroyed your dreams. Well, thank God for it, because so often we have come up with some scenario in our mind of what we think is God's will, and it can only be that when God says, lean not unto thine own understanding. Brethren, never trust in what you think God is doing. Just trust in God. Lean. That means to rely. The second thing that the word lean means is to rest. Now, you know something, when you are resting on something, you convey a message. You convey that you are finding comfort on what you are resting on. I have been amazed by going to the hospitals many times. Maybe there's been a tragedy, or maybe there's been a difficult situation. A loved one has passed away. And sometimes when I go, I find God's people resting. They're at rest. Now, are they resting because everything is good? No. But they are resting on God. They are resting that the Lord is going to take care of this. That is what it means to lean. You're at rest, resting that God is not going to make a mistake, that God is going to work all things together for your good. Isaiah 26, verse 3. You're in Isaiah 55. Would you turn back to Isaiah 26, verse number 3? Brethren, I got news for you tonight. God has a perfect plan for your life. No matter how unfortunate your circumstances may be, He is weaving and working things together for your good and His glory and His plan for your life. That's why Philippians chapter 4 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all, what's the next word? Understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You see, we are not to lean to our own understanding. And I'm going to tell you something. Can I tell you about my life? Where it gets me is my own understanding. I think, God, this doesn't make sense. Lord, this is not what I need. Lord, this is not what I want. This is in the package, and I don't want that in the package. Lord, I don't want that piece of the will of God. This is not going to help me. But we must lean not unto our own understanding. And that peace of God, when we are careful for nothing, that means we are anxious for nothing, but we go to the Lord in prayer and we seek His face, He gives us that peace of God that surpasses our understanding. Because we get held up at the understanding part. And it gives us peace. Isaiah 26, verse 3. It's my wife's life verse. It says this. Notice this. Isaiah 26, verse 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Look in verse 4. Trust ye in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting. Lasting strength. It means to rest. When you rest, can I tell you what will happen? You'll have peace. When you rest, that God's going to take care of it. You'll have peace. You know what? There came a point in my life when I was in high school. And people, you know, sometimes people don't mean to, but they can kind of make you a little discouraged. People would come up to me and say, "Hey, Aaron, you're getting ready to graduate. What are you going to do?" I don't know. You know, I felt so dumb saying that. I felt so foolish. They would say, "Hey, Aaron, what you going to do, man? Where are you going to go?" I don't know. And honestly, that was the best question I could give, because I was praying and I was waiting on the Lord to let me know, to guide me, to give me direction, to give me guidance. And sometimes, well, the devil uses that in our life. The devil says, "Hey, you don't even know. God hasn't showed you, has he? God must not be good to you. God has let you down." You see how the devil works? He accuses God to us, but resting is saying, "I'm waiting on the Lord to show me. I'm waiting on God to guide me. I'm waiting on those divine impressions from the Lord as God works in our life." We trust, we lean. The third and last thing tonight is, look what the Bible says. Go back to Proverbs chapter 3. I'm going to show you this. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Notice what the Bible says. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding." And look in verse 6. "In all thy ways acknowledge him." And then we love the last part. "And he shall direct thy paths." You know what? We want the last sentence, but we don't really want to trust, lean, or acknowledge. The third word is to acknowledge. Now, what does it mean to acknowledge? Now, for instance, if I were to come into my house tonight after we get back and get home tonight, eat some scrambled eggs and tater tots. Praise God for that. That's good stuff, all right? It helps you grow in your Christian life, all right? But if I were to get home tonight and walk in the house, walk right past my wife, walk right past the children, you know what I have not done? I have not acknowledged them. When my wife speaks to me, but I walk away from her, I've not acknowledged her. I've not listened to her. She's speaking to me. Well, brethren, tonight, there is a God in heaven who wants to speak to you. There is a God in heaven who desires to direct your path. He created you. He created the blueprint for your life. So, brethren, tonight, acknowledge him. Now, what does it mean to acknowledge God? Can I tell you, there are ways that we acknowledge God. Let me give them to you. Number one, we acknowledge God, and I believe the greatest way, through prayer. Do you know that when I pray, I am stating that there is something I cannot see that is real, and I am praying to the one who's created the heavens and the earth. I am trusting him. When I pray, I'm acknowledging that God will hear me and that God loves me enough to listen. You see, we acknowledge God through prayer. That's why Philippians 4, 6, and 7. "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God." You see, brethren, when we pray, we are acknowledging that God loves us and that God cares enough to listen. I thank God for my children. And you know something? I love spending time with them. My boys, on a Friday night right after school, we had some guys, and we helped Joshua and Jenny Bierman move from their house in Plain City, which was a rental house, to where they bought a house. And so I took my boys with me right after school, and we went over there and had a little bit of a drive there. And you know something? I enjoyed talking with them. We talked about the Buckeyes and talked about Michigan, poor old Michigan. But anyway, we talked about different things like that. And we just enjoyed the time of fellowship together. Would it not be very sad and very hurtful for me to drive all the way to Plain City and not acknowledge my boys? That would hurt them. But brethren, can I tell you something? I am an earthly father, a father that has faults and weaknesses. I'm a sinner saved by the grace of God. But if I love my children enough to acknowledge them, do you not believe that there is a God in heaven who loves us with an unquenchable love, loves us with an unfailing love, who loved us before we could ever love him? He loved us first. Do you not know that that God will hear you and will direct your life? You see, that is acknowledging God. God, I don't know. As I preached on this morning, as Solomon said, Lord, I'm like a little child. I don't know how to come out or go in. Lord, I acknowledge your direction, your leading for my life. Brethren, God delights in directing us. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things, which thou what? No, it's not. Is that not what we're saying when we pray? I don't know God. I don't have the understanding, God. But I call unto you, and you have promised to direct me. One night, my wife and I were talking, and we took a walk in our neighborhood. And I said to her, I said, you know, it is amazing to me of God's direction and leading in my life. I know I'm where God wants me to be, and what a joy and a comfort that is. But boy, how did I get there? Well, it wasn't me. It was the Lord. But brethren, I believe that I have sought to be yielded to the Lord. And I've sought to say, God, help me to know thy will. I will obey thy will. I yield to thy will. You know what? God has not allowed me to make a mistake in knowing his will as far as direction goes, because he is my loving Father, and he wants to guide us, and he wants to lead us. Acknowledge. We acknowledge through prayer. But the second thing is, we acknowledge through praise. Do you know that when we are praising God, we are acknowledging him and giving him the credit that he deserves? When was the last time that we acknowledged and praised him for being the true and living God? Making no mistake. Years ago, the story is told about one of the greatest prayer warriors of all times was a man by the name of George Mueller. George Mueller was famous for his orphanages that he ran in England. And over his lifetime, do you know that he cared for over 10,000 orphans? Well, to someone who did not believe in God, it could have seemed that George Mueller's means of caring for the orphans was really unreliable. Did you know that George Mueller never talked about a need that he had? He had a confidence in God that he never shared a need with anyone. He never would, because he said, I can go to God and God will hear my prayer and God will answer my need. In fact, one day, on one particular occasion, the children at one of the orphanages came to their breakfast table ready for their meal, just as they did every morning. But what they did not know was that there was nothing for them to eat. Nothing. And Mueller came down and he said, children, let us pray for God to provide our food. You may think, well, that's a little presumptuous, Pastor. But oh, Mr. Mueller knew God. And shortly after he prayed, a baker stopped by and said, I've got some extra loaves here today. Mr. Mueller, can you use any loaves? Oh, yes, I can use some loaves. Wasn't long after that a milk wagon broke down right in front of the orphanage. And the milkman came to the door and said, hey, this milk is going to spoil. Can you all use the milk? Can I tell you something? There is a God in heaven. And that same God who provided Mueller all the things that he needed is the same God that you and I serve tonight. It's the same God that we know and love. Brethren, there is a God in heaven who wants to guide us, who wants to direct us, who wants to lead our every path. I will say this in closing. God's plans are bigger than your plans for your life. God's ways are greater than your ways. Our strength is nothing compared to his strength. His ways are greater and higher. Trust him. Lean on him. And acknowledge him tonight. I want to read one last thing that I found by F.B. Meyer, one of my favorite authors. F.B. Meyer said this. He said, there are three things that must concur to know the will of God. And we've talked about what we must do. We must trust, lean, and acknowledge. But F.B. Meyer said this. There are three things that always come together when God's will is directing. Number one, there is the inward divine impression. Now listen to me. Do you know tonight that one of the greatest things about the Christian life is that we have the Holy Spirit of God? And you know what? That's why nobody else can tell you God's word for your life. We have the Spirit of God who indwells us. And the Spirit of God, in fact, the Bible says that we are to pray to God and to pray to the Spirit who knows the will of the Father. Brethren, the Spirit of God can impress us. Those divine impressions. F.B. Meyer said, wait for the divine impression of God. Secondly, he said, the Word of God. He said, God in His book confirming what God has said to you through the divine impression. You see, brethren, we have the Word of God. God's Word. The Bible says, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's the divine impression through the Spirit of God. It is the Word of God. And then it is the circumstances of God. You know that God uses circumstances to speak to us. F.B. Meyer said this, if you trust circumstances alone, you are in a dangerous place to try to determine the will of God. For instance, some people lay out the fleece before God. Well, God, if it's your will for me to do this, then let a green motorcycle pass by my house today. Now, we laugh about that, but that's how some Christians act. They want something mystical. They want something so supernatural. God, let a gray bird with a red beak fly. You know, that's what they want. They're looking for something like that. Listen, God is a God of understanding. He's given you a mind. He's given you a heart. He's given you a will. But He's given you His precious Word and the divine Spirit of God. But God uses circumstances often. As God led the children of Israel, what did He do for them? God said He led them as a mother eagle gets the eaglets ready to get out of the nest. And you know the story in Isaiah. The mother eagle, literally, even today, she'll take all the branches. It was nice and comfortable in there. She starts turning them over. Those little eaglets probably say to themselves, man, it's getting uncomfortable around here. Used to be comfortable around here. I was going to stay here all my life. Well, then they get uncomfortable to where they're ready to leave the nest. And God did that to the children of Israel. He used circumstances to make them ready to listen and to know the will of the Lord. Brethren, tonight, there is a God in heaven who wants to guide you. Trust, lean, and acknowledge. Let's pray.